My message this morning is out of Isaiah 40. It's entitled Comforting My People. I'm going to look at the first couple of verses, although I think we may spill over into some of the other part of the chapter as well. Someone has said that God's people are always in one of three places. They're either heading down into the wilderness, they're coming up out of the wilderness, or they're presently in the midst of the wilderness. Where are you this morning? You're in one of three places. In whatever state you are in, God wants you to know that He knows where you are. You might not know where you are, but He knows where you are today. Isn't that good to know? And He cares about your state of mind, and He cares about your body, and He wants to encourage you in your journey. And Dr. Ekstrin defines wilderness this way. Let me read it to you. Scripture often depicts the experience of God's presence or blessing with the imagery of water, streams, oases, and rivers. Conversely, it describes times of distress, doubt, and alienation from God with the imagery of a desert or wilderness. The wilderness is where water is scarce, where a traveler walks alone in the heat and the cold without shade or protection, and where wild animals live. In a spiritual wilderness, God feels far away, distant, absent, and unresponsive. Faith feels doubtful or uncertain. We feel alone, vulnerable, lost, and unprotected. There is the fear of hopelessness and the unknown, and it's the place where Satan resides. Feel familiar? We've been there. We've all been there at one time or another. All true saints go through a wilderness experience in their life, some more than others. Why, you ask? Our first thought usually is that it was caused by some sin. But sin is not the reason God sends us into the wilderness. King David was no stranger to wilderness experiences. Psalm 28, Psalm 38. And though he sinned like you and me, yet he was a man after God's own heart. And there's lots of scriptures to support that. David wrote a number of psalms that speak to the hearts of fellow believers when they are experiencing spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness, or the wilderness experience, is God's way of getting us to exercise our faith even when there is little feedback or affirmation or emotional joy. In the wilderness or wilderness, we are not being punished. We are being tested, and our faith is being strengthened. I have some good news for you this morning. God is interested in giving His encouragement to His chosen ones. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, comfort my people. Give relief. He's not forgotten you or the promises He made to you. He sends His prophets out into His world to remind His kids of these truths. And the truth is, I'm going to deliver you out of your bondage and your fear. I'm going to save you if you'll hold on to me. And God says, tell people that. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. In other words, give relief, console, alleviate sorrow, give emotional strength. Literally, cause to breathe again. That's what that word comfort means. Cause to breathe again. Go. That's the Hebrew word for comfort. Cause to breathe again. This is a service that He provides to His children. And it's something He's always provided to His children. He wants to give comfort. And he wants to inform his people that this is to be a continuous command. Comfort, comfort my people. Let people know this. Now, there's some bad news this morning. With good news, there's always bad news. It's my observation that not all of us who call ourselves God's people are interested in being comforted by God. We're not all excited about having him come near to us. And there are some good reasons for that. For an example, Adam and Eve were in the garden. God was in love with them, wasn't he? And he showed up one afternoon to be with them. And there they were hiding in the growth. God wanted to be with them. How about them? They didn't want to see him or be seen by him. And we know it was their sin that was causing them this shame and embarrassment. And that makes it extremely difficult for the shepherd when he wants to take care of his sheep if they're hiding, no matter what the reason. I think of another time when Moses came off the mountain where he had just met with God. And he invited God's people to come up with him. Come on up and we'll meet God together. And in chapter 20 of Exodus, they said, no thanks, we're good, you go up for us. Do you remember why they said that? Huh?
No clothing?
No, no, by the time Mount Sinai was around, they were wearing clothes then. There was lightning and thunder happening up there. The earth was shaking, and they were thinking, you know, we're good right here. That's all right. That's part of it. Here's a God who wants to be with his people, and here are his people who aren't interested at all in being with him. What's that all about? People who don't know God, people who don't understand God, don't want to be near him. And we can't be comforted by God if we don't know who he is and what he can do. When we start growing in this area, that's a sign of significant spiritual growth. When we come to know that God loves us unconditionally, life gets real good. 1 John chapter 3. Do I have it up here? Yeah. Read this with me.
See what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children. And indeed we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. If they don't know him, if the world doesn't know him, they can't know his love. They can't know his comfort.
In John 4, 7 through 10, it says this, dear friends, let us not love, or let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Bill read this for us. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And on it goes. God is the provider of comfort to his people. If we do not take the time to understand his ways, we'll continue to struggle with this trust thing. And we'll self-medicate. We'll self-comfort. Have you ever heard that term before? And we'll miss out on the true comfort that God wants to give to us. We can all come up with our own comfort, with our own plan of comforting ourselves. But God wants to comfort us with his comfort. Have you figured out that your plan for comfort doesn't work? Or at least it doesn't work very long? The Huffington Post recently did a survey. They now understand what ordinary men like for comfort food. They've got it all figured out. They're the experts, all right? I want to share with you the 10 comfort foods of men. You might want to know this. Start with number 10. Ready? Chocolate pudding. Number 9, cheeseburgers. Next one, tomato soup. And as we head toward the top, baked ziti. It's got to be true. It's out of Huffington Post here. Dumplings, as we head up the list. Pizza. Yeah, I hear some yeses there. All right, Saul, guess what this one is? Taco.
All right.
Taco. Saul likes making tacos. Number three, mac and cheese. Number two, we're getting near the top, mashed potato. All right, it looks to me like that's not just man's comfort food, but by the actions here. Number one at the very top of the list, ready? Grilled cheese sandwich.
Not even close.
Isn't that interesting?
They forgot bacon.
Exactly.
You can't argue with experts.
I would have been the grilled cheese.
There you go.
I have some other suggestions over here.
That's right.
You know, since the very beginning of the Bible, since the very beginning of time, God has been punching over us. He has been doing that since the beginning. The Bible says in verse 2 of the Bible, His Spirit moved over the deep, over the waters. It means fluttering, means hovering. The first helicopter parent, God is hovering over His earth. He cares about His people. Deuteronomy 32:11 compares Him to an eagle hovering over its young. His comforts are superior to anything that we can come up with on our own. We miss out on the comfort, the life breath of God if we won't get to know who He is. If we haven't experienced Him in His ways, He says, try me in this. Test me and see. If I won't take care of you, listen to my words. And as we push into this book together, we're going to discover the many ways that He loves us. Exodus 34:6 talks about this. God was introducing Himself to Moses when this leader of the people stopped by Mount Sinai to pick up a couple of things. Remember what those things were? A couple of tablets. All right. Heavy tablets, had the Ten Commandments on them. They were chiseled there. Listen to what God said in Exodus 34, 47. I'm going to start at verse 4. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets, like the first ones, and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed His name, the Lord. And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generations. To David, He repeated these same words. Oh, Russ, that's nice of you. Thank you. He repeated these same words. He wanted His people to understand what He brings to the table of our lives. In Psalm 103, He says this, He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. Praise the name of the Lord. This is always available to us, to those who are part of the covenant people. David got it down. As a matter of fact, it was downloaded into his life. And we see him repeat these words in Psalm 145:8. It's beautiful when we can repeat what God has taught to us. That's a sign that we've really learned it, when we can talk to others about it. Do you know him? If you don't know God, you can't be comforted by him. Isaiah 40:28 says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He'll not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Hallelujah. This is all made possible because of a promise that God made to his people. Way back, King David commanded his subjects, "Know the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." The part I want you to see there is, know the Lord. Know the Lord your God. His words are everlasting. Deuteronomy 7:9. Cindy, read that for us. To 1,000 generations. They don't change. His words don't change. God told his subjects, "Know therefore that the Lord is your God, a faithful God. He keeps his covenant. His loving kindness extends to 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments." You know, you can't enjoy, the world can't enjoy, God's people can't enjoy his benefits until we realize they are available to us. Now, I had something I wanted to show you on my phone this morning, but once you know it, my phone's not working. There's no electricity in it. So I asked Bart if he'd help me. Do you know, you carpenters, that on a phone, on these fancy phones, you can get a level? Isn't that cool? It really works? I mean, did you know that? Let's see if this poster made by Sue Davis in 2013 is level. The pastor put it up here, so it's going to be level. No, it's off by 0.7 degrees. I'll come back and put another staple on the wall later. Did you know this is here? It's pretty cool. And you can get a plumb bob. You can get a plumb bob so you can make a wall spray on your app. It's pretty cool.
Are you talking about plumbing?
Huh?
Are you talking about plumbing?
Nope, I'm talking about carpentry.
Oh, okay, I know nothing about
it. No, but you're learning a lot right now. All right, you're learning a lot. Thank you. My point is, there's a lot of things that are available, but if we don't know they're there, we can't take advantage of it. Do you know how big God is? Do you know all of the benefits that are ours as his children that are available to us? How much do you think we got? How much do you think we understand? It's so huge. Until we open this book up, until we spend time together like this and understand who he is and what he's able to do, we miss out on these privileges. It's kind of fun playing with that level, all right? I go around the house and I straighten up the pictures with my level. In Oxford, I had to do it a lot because the train kept going by. I'd get them all straight, the train go by, and everything was broken again. That would have been handy if I had it back then. Unless we know God and what he's capable of doing, we can't take advantage of what's available through him. We must continue to unwrap his benefits. And we're going to do that right now. There's a promise of future peace in Isaiah 14:1-3. It's for this reason that Isaiah 40 to 66 is so important for the Church of Jesus Christ. We too are the beneficiaries of the fulfillment of the promises of God's word. God gives his promises, and he gives his comfort to his people. You know where he gave his comfort to his people here? You know where they were? Out in the desert. They were out in the wilderness. And it came to them. The comforting words from God need to get out to all of God's people, no matter where in the wilderness they happen to be. The good news of God's return needs to be shared with the other cities. And what's shared with the other cities of Judah? Let me share with you the words that Isaiah gave to the people on that day as we close up today. First ones were, your hard serving is coming to an end. Although God's people were judged and exiled, Israel had not ceased to be Jehovah's people, the elect, peculiar people of God. And he says, all the things that you have struggled with, O city of Jerusalem, up to this point, all of the hard time that you've gone through, I want you to know that your hard serving is coming to an end. Do you know that the hard parts of your life, those hard things that happen to us, are coming to an end? That's a promise that God gives to us. Isn't that good to know? That's always, this is always a message we can share and remember. I love to say that storms don't last forever. You don't know of any storm that's ever come to your life that lasted forever, Paula. Even the stuff that you're going through right now. Every storm blows by. As we hold on to the Lord, he'll help us through those storms. He says to his people here, as he comforts them, your hard serving is coming to an end. I love the second one, he says to them. Your sin has been paid for. I love that. As a matter of fact, he says, your debt is more than covered. Been paid for double. I want you to know that's always God's desire. God's desire is always that people would know his salvation and his forgiveness for sins. That's always his prayer. Over in Luke 1, verse 60, in the middle of Zechariah's song, it says this. He says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He did that through his son, Jesus. Amen? Someone might say, well, Pastor, the punishment for my sins hasn't been taken care of yet. He didn't punish my sins. If he didn't, you're not a Christian. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 13 to 14, let me read this for you. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah! Hallelujah for that. When you were dead, when I was dead in my transgressions and sin, he made us alive with him. He did that. Not when I got my life together. When he decided, he said, I'm taking care of this for you. He made us alive together with him. And that debt, he has taken it all out of the way, having nailed it to a cross. The third words of comfort I see here is this. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming to you. Verse 5. He's on the way, and all will see this happen. That's the hope of the believer. There are very few words that will comfort you more than these. Jesus is coming back again. Amen. He's coming to be with you and take us to be with him. I close with these words. Get to know him. Find out who he is and what's available to you through him. Understand what he can do. Our theme this year is to understand the will of the Lord. Let's continue to understand, to grow more in that. And that comes from being around this word. And then I want to say this to you as we close. Let him comfort you. What is it that's disturbing you this morning? Let him comfort you. Let the Spirit of Jesus just come and move on you. And then let him comfort others through you. Because that's what we're here for. Is that God might speak through us to others these same words, these same truths. Amen? That's what I want to share with you this morning. Any comment before we close? Do you believe these words? Where are you in the wilderness? Let him comfort you there. He loves you. Jesus loves you more than we can describe to you this morning. There's a wonderful hymn called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. I want us to close with this today. Run to him. If anybody needs to use the altar today, if you need to come down front for prayer, maybe you need to come to know the Lord today. If you haven't made that decision before, you come. And we'd be glad to pray with you so you know that you know that you know. All right, but let's sing this great song together.
Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the billows near me roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into my aching guide, oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee, and good. Leave, oh, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, while thankful of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace.
I'm glad that's not the last verse.
Plenteous grace with me is found. Grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing springs abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life, the fountain heart, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity.
Were you listening deeply today? If you were, you can change. God's working on you. Again, there'll be somebody here to pray if anybody wants to have a prayer. I'm going to ask Kate as she closes our service today.
Heavenly God, I just thank you for today. Thank you for the ability to come with our brothers and sisters, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just be with us to help minister to us and just to let us know that we are not alone in this wilderness of life, God. Please allow us to strengthen through your Son, Christ, Lord, just the trials that go on through our lives and to know that you are always there with us.